Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for July 17th, 2024. I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Miami International Holdings, Inc., or MIH, announced that the SEC has approved MIAX Sapphire LLC's application to become a national securities exchange. MIAX Sapphire, MIH's fourth national securities exchange for U.S. multi-listed options, will feature both an electronic exchange launching on August 12, 2024, and a physical trading floor opening in 2025. This will be the first national securities exchange to establish a presence in Miami, Florida, and will include advanced trading facilities, office space, conference rooms, and a media broadcast area. Bloomberg is reporting new research from a senior fellow at the Wharton School challenges the idea that the correlation between wealth and happiness plateaus after reaching a certain income level. Matthew Killingsworth's updated study finds that millionaires and billionaires are significantly happier than those earning over $500,000 annually, extending the positive association between money and well-being far up the economic ladder. This study builds on previous work, including reanalysis with psychologist Daniel Kahneman, disputing a 2010 paper that suggested happiness levels off at incomes between $60,000 and $90,000. Killingsworth findings indicate that people with higher net worths report significantly greater life satisfaction compared to those with lower incomes, highlighting a substantial difference in happiness between the richest and middle income groups. If you don't have the money to be happy, you might check out Dr. Ruth Westheimer's Tips for a Happy Life, courtesy of the New York Times. Stephanie Dobbs Brown posted to LinkedIn that after 7 years and much reflection, she has decided to step down as chief marketing officer at ICE and NYSE. We thank her for all her great work and wish her well at what she does next, which I know will be terrific. In his July 15th column, Bloomberg's Matt Levine explores the potential for lucrative non-disclosure agreements, NDAs, in finance, particularly in the context of whistleblower protection rules enforced by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC. Levine humorously suggests a scenario where one could profit by reporting confidentiality agreements to the SEC, which interprets such NDAs as potentially obstructive to whistleblowing. The SEC can fine companies for these NDAs, and whistleblowers may receive a substantial portion of the fine as a reward. Additionally, Levine touches on various topics, including sports gambling limits, the fintech company Stripe, and the evolving landscape of stablecoins and meme coins. He provides insights into how these elements interact within the broader financial and regulatory environment, reflecting his extensive background in finance and law. Memex recently made some changes to their equity fee tiers because of a surge in activity with stocks priced under $1. In June, these sub-$1 stocks made up 17% of all trades, and Memex captured a significant 46.2% of the TRF market share. The month also saw a higher than usual auction volume due to index rebalances, making up 13.9% of total volume. Memex options market is also doing well, with a 4.3% share of regular electronic trading in June, which has increased to 5.4% so far in July. In terms of popular ETFs, Memex regular electronic options market share this month is 7.8% for SPY, and 4.9% for QQQ, and 6.8% for IWM. Notably, MEMX options quoting performance has improved significantly, ranking second out of 17 exchanges for SPY trading this month. On July 17th, FOW reported several noteworthy updates behind its paywall. The International Swaps and Derivatives Association, or ISDA, is seeking new members for its ISDA Futures Leaders in Derivatives, or IFLD, program to conduct research on collateral and liquidity. CME Group announced it will delist its Bloomberg-administered BSBY futures on October 11th, marking its exit from the controversial credit-sensitive rate market. Wells Fargo has become the latest member to join LCH Forex Clear, making it the third new member in the past year. European regulators plan to establish a cyber attack coordination committee ahead of new regulations coming into effect next year. Lastly, global FX derivatives volumes plummeted in the second quarter of 2024 due to significant rule changes in India, severely impacting the world's largest FX market. On July 16th, FOW reported several significant stories that are behind its paywall. Merex has appointed Mackenzie Billings from CME Group to head its new division overseeing introducing brokers in derivatives. Additionally, Merex hired Malcolm Bradford from Bank of America Merrill Lynch to enhance its futures options and OTC clearing sales following its recent NASDAQ listing. The European Energy Exchange, or EEX, saw a significant increase in power futures volume in the first half of the year, driven by high demand for German, French, Italian, and Spanish power futures, as well as Dutch natural gas futures. Horizon Trading Solutions expanded its services to Asian clients by launching mutualized hosting services via Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing, HKEX, building on recent successes in North America. Lastly, CME Group's expansion in its rates franchise is showing promising results with a notable surge in options trading on U.S. Treasuries, reflecting a broader shift in market structure. CoinDesk is reporting that after the recent court case, Craig Wright has added an admission to his website that he is not Satoshi Nakamoto, the alleged inventor of Bitcoin. He has also added a notice to his website that he is, however, Batman. Our most read stories from our previous edition of JALEN Options were: BlackRock says active ETFs poised to hit $4 trillion by 2030 from Bloomberg. Crypto options traders can soon target bets on U.S. presidential results from Bloomberg. And my skepticism persists despite BlackRock's Larry Fink's reversing stance, declaring Bitcoin a legitimate financial instrument, from John Lothian News. Subscribe to the free JALEN Options newsletter with a link in today's JALEN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JALEN. Here's a video from our OIC coverage. Options Education Goes Mobile: How Matt Cashman is Bringing Wall Street to Your Pocket. In the dynamic world of financial derivatives, Matt Cashman of the Options Industry Council, or OIC, is on a mission to demystify the complex realm of options trading. As part of the OIC's investor education team, Cashman is at the forefront of a digital revolution in financial literacy, adapting to the changing habits of a new generation of traders. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a commentary on LinkedIn from MetroTrade. The headline: That's Why We Did It, The Case for Chicago. Chicago has been taking it on the chin for a few years, so we felt it was time to go on offense and review why we chose to make the city of big shoulders our corporate home. We decided to start our business in Chicago for three strategic reasons. Chicago's financial background as a hub and center of expertise for the futures business, the ecosystem of supporting businesses, exchanges, and infrastructure that background has created and sustains, and the strategic location and connectivity of Chicago provides. My comment, David Klotz and I have one thing in common for sure. We love Chicago. Here's a posting to LinkedIn from FIA Inc. FIA June 2024 highlights. On June 17th to 19th, FIA hosted its annual International Derivatives Expo in London, bringing together the clearing firms, exchanges, and vendors that drive the growth of the clear derivatives industry in Europe and around the world. FIA held panels, keynotes, fireside chats, and debates on regulation, the future of markets, operational efficiency and resilience, commodity markets in Europe, and the latest innovative technology. FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan set the tone for the conference during his opening remarks, highlighting the good news stories in our industry, from growing volumes and competition to the transformative technologies impacting our markets for the better. My comment, the FIA was busy in June. Here's a story from Blockworks from Byron Gilliam. The headline, Trust Matters. History's first known currency is thought to be barley, which was used in ancient Mesopotamia from around 3000 BC as both a unit of account and a means of exchange, a seminal first step away from barter-based economies and towards market-based ones. My comment, an interesting look at trust and trustlessness. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, hearing in secret trial of falsely accused Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich brought forward, proceedings initially scheduled to take place on August 13th are now slated for July 18th. Proceedings in the secret trial of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich are set to resume Thursday, almost a month earlier than originally scheduled, after a request from his defense team, according to the Russian court where he faces a false accusation of espionage. The 32-year-old American journalist has been imprisoned since March of last year, when he was arrested by the country's Federal Security Service, or FSB, while on a reporting assignment in Yekaterinburg, around 900 miles east of Moscow. My comment, free Evan now. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was the Washington Post Representative Wexton confronting degenerative disease finds her voice through AI. Second was pity hedge funds that lost in electricity chaos. No, really, an opinion piece from Javier Blas at Bloomberg. Third was OCC's tech overhaul poised to reshape options trading, a JLN video interview with Mike Hansen at OCC. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Wall Street starts calling time on ESG labels after backlash. At Institutional Investor, keeper of Wall Street's version of the Oscars for financial analysts, the winner in one category this year is nobody. The red carpet is being formally rolled up for the three letters ESG. The 57-year-old II has dropped the label, short for Environmental, Social, and Governance, from its annual analyst rankings. In its place is sustainability, a synonym many banks and money managers are using instead, amid the increasingly politicized debate over climate change and corporate diversity in the U.S. This is how it is these days for ESG in American finance. The label, which emerged from obscurity only to be hyped by Wall Street and then attacked by Republican politicians, is being scrubbed from some investment products and job titles. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, a fintech's collapse raises questions about a hot business model. Tech companies found a way to sell FDIC-backed accounts without being banks, then one firm lost track of customers' money. Over the past decade, dozens of financial technology companies have linked up with small and mid-sized banks across the country. The idea, the fintechs would create slick smartphone apps and offer useful new services to lure customers, and banks would hold on to the deposits, generating lucrative fees from transactions. Importantly, the arrangement allowed the fintechs to tout protection from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. But now, as millions of dollars worth of deposits remain frozen months after the collapse of a company called Synapse Financial Technologies, that supposed FDIC protection has come into clearer focus. And those partnerships are facing tough questions. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline: Charles Schwab sinks after vowing to shrink bank over time. Charles Schwab Corporation shares suffered their biggest intraday drop since the depths of last year's regional bank crisis after the investing giant warned it will have to shrink itself in order to protect profits. Going forward, Schwab is planning to rely more on off-balance sheet arrangements to house customer deposits, Chief Executive Officer Walt Bettinger said on a conference call with analysts. By relying on partners like Toronto Dominion Bank, such deals would allow Schwab to more efficiently use capital, he said. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform upon which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email yet, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.